If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam, dini, wal-azam, ghayru dini, Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We are going to be talking about the prayer rules according to the laws issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
SubhanAllah.
Sheikh Javid, we are talking about the rules of prayer, and it's a very interesting question that I would like to ask you, and that is, it is very much recommended to teach someone about the jurisprudence. Yeah. And all the rules and principles of the religion to someone else, to pass it on to the next generation, for example. Is it permissible to receive some wages or some money for teaching someone about prayers as a tuition fee, for example?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, Ayatollah Sistani has clearly stated in his Risala that it is not permissible to take wages for teaching obligatory acts of prayers. It is haram for someone to teach the obligatory acts of prayer. For example, you are teaching someone to pray, to do Takbiratul Ihram, to do the recitation, Qira'ah, and also all those obligatory parts of the prayer. So, as for the obligatory parts of the prayer are concerned, of course, it's not permissible to receive any wages for teaching them.
Yes.
But as for taking wages for teaching mustahab things is concerned, of course, it is permissible, mustahab things. If you want to teach someone how to say the adhan, how to say the qama, or maybe there are different mustahab parts of the prayers. Also, teaching, for example, the Holy Quran, which is not obligatory.
Yes.
But it is mustahab. Any act which is mustahab, if you want to teach, you can receive wages for teaching them.
Okay, I see. Sheikh Javid, is it obligatory to follow the rules of tajweed and learn all about them?
Well, the ulama of tajweed, tajweed is, as you know, is the art of reciting the Quran. And they have, for example, created certain rules and certain, procedures for reciting the Holy Quran. And these rules are not necessary to follow while reciting the Quran.
Yes.
While performing the prayers.
Mm-hmm.
They are good to follow as far as you can. But to follow the strict rules of tajweed is not necessary. What is necessary according to the religious authorities is to recite and to pronounce the words and letters in a correct way. Now, there's a difference between reciting something in a correct way and following the rules of tajweed. Tajweed means to recite the Quran beautifully.
Yes.
Beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
And it does not mean that it is correct, that tajweed is the only way to recite to offer the prayers in a correct way. Because that does not mean like that.
Yes.
So we can, for example, recite the words and letters and also the ayat of which are recited in the Quran, in the prayer, correctly and still, you can say that we are not supposed to follow the rules of tajweed because tajweed is one thing and correct recitation is another thing.
Okay, let's take a short break and we'll continue, inshallah, the rest of this episode of Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. Don't go away. La ilaha
illallah, Allahu Akbar. The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the Library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are delving into the jurisprudential rules of prayer. And Sheikh Javid is answering all of those questions. And thank you, Sheikh. And let me ask you this question in this part or segment of the program, Islam Gloss. You know, we all know that in the third or fourth rak'ah of the obligatory prayers, such as the noon or the afternoon prayer, for example, somehow we don't recite the chapters, the surahs, right? For example, the Surah Al-Hamd or Surah Al-Ikhlas, right?
Yeah.
But is it permissible to for one to recite Al-Hamd or in the third and fourth rak'ah of the prayers?
Well, in the third and fourth rak'ahs of prayer, one may either read Surah Al-Hamd, which is called Surah Fatiha, okay,
yes,
or Surah Al-Hamd, or Tasbihati Arba'ah, mm-hmm, okay. You are free to choose between either Surah Al-Hamd or Tasbihati Arba'ah. Tasbihati Arba'ah means Subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar. This is what we mean by Tasbihati Arba'ah.
Yes.
And of course,
Tasbihat Arba'ah, in fact, it contains four parts or comprises four parts.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that you have to pronounce them four times.
Yes.
It's only recited, in fact, three times, if I'm not mistaken.
It is obligatory to say it once.
Yes.
To say it once. But if you want, it is recommended to say Tasbihat Arba'ah thrice, three times.
Because one might be confused about the Arba'ah part of it.
Yeah,
you know?
Because Arba'ah means four, okay?
Yes.
But four is within the same zikr, you know?
Exactly.
Subhanallah is one, Alhamdulillah two, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar.
Yes.
So these are the four tasbihat.
Constituents.
And of course, it is obligatory to say it once, but okay, it is recommended to say it three times. Now you can choose to recite Tasbihat Arba'ah or Surah Al-Hamd, and it's up to you, of course. You know, this is the ruling, and many people are under the impression that no, you cannot recite Surah Al-Hamd in the third and fourth rak'ah, but that's not the case.
I see. Okay. Very good indeed. Is it also permissible to replace the Surah Ikhlas or Tawheed, right?
Yeah.
With any other chapters or surahs of the Quran?
Well, it is permissible to replace it with any other surahs or chapters of the Holy Quran. But the religious authorities have said that, it is better, it's recommended to recite in the first rak'ah of prayer Surah Inna Anzalna. It's recommended to recite Surah Inna Anzalna in the first rak'ah,
right,
and Surah Ikhlas or Surah Tawheed
In
the second rak'ah after Hamd.
Mm-hmm.
After Hamd. And it is makruh. It is makruh to, skip the recitation of Surah Ikhlas in a prayer. It is very much recommended that one recite Surah Ikhlas in one of the two rak'ahs of prayer, to completely ignore it and to replace this surah with any other surah is makruh. That means you are still allowed to recite any other surah in place of Surah Ikhlas or Surah Tawheed. You know, we use the same Surah Ikhlas and Surah Tawheed are the same, referring to the same chapter of the Holy Quran. It is makruh to replace it completely and not to recite it in a prayer, any prayer, Fajr, Zohar, Asr, or Maghrib and Isha.
I see. Okay. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid, for your nice contribution to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. In this episode, we've been again talking about the jurisprudential rules of prayer. And with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program, or the host of this program, Islamic Laws, we say, and the rest of the crew, of course, we say, Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
لا إله إلا هو وحيد القدير. محيي مميت الظاهر والباطن.